Say amen. Cares I've passed, I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. Cares have passed, home at last, ever to rejoice. Isn't that something? We're going to go someplace where cares have passed. There's some things that we worry about, that we care about. Those things sometimes weigh us down. But we're going someplace where those cares have passed. And we'll be able to say, I'm home at last. And forever, not for a little while, but forever we'll rejoice. That's a good thing, boy. I can't wait to go someplace where all my cares are just past. And forever I'll be rejoicing. You know, it seems like, you know, we have joy in our life, but it seems like sometimes joy is too short-lived. But I'm excited to go to heaven where I will be able to have joy always. Now, I know that I'm supposed to have joy always as a Christian, but sometimes the world just kind of weighs on me. And sometimes they kind of beat me up. If I'm being honest, sometimes the world is still a little bit of my joy. But I know in heaven, I'll have joy always. That's a wonderful thing. I know y'all probably saying, what's wrong with this boy today? God just been good to me. He just been good to me. He was good to me this week. He was good to me this morning. He's been good to me every day of my life. And I'm just excited about what he has done for me and with me. And I just ask you to keep on praying for me and praying for my family, because we are doing our very best to be close to God. And I know, you know, my family is like your family. Sometimes you go through some things, you're dealing with difficult situations, and those are the times where we should be closer to God, but sometimes that's when it's most difficult. We find ourselves leaning on our own understanding and worried about other things. So I ask you to continue to pray for us so that we can continue, that even as we go through difficulties, we want to stay close to God. Is that all right? Y'all all right this morning? Y'all sound like you had a bad week. I had a good week. I had a good week. It was full of stuff, but it was still good because God kept me. Yeah, no matter what you did or what you went through, God kept you. And that's a good thing. Amen. Let's get to the scripture. Is that all right? Let's go to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter. And we'll read through the majority of the fourth chapter. Actually, we'll pick up around verse 12. And we'll go to the end of the chapter. And then we'll go back and give a little bit of context of what's taking place. And then we'll get right into our application of the scripture, if that's all right. All right, the Bible says in Acts 4, the 12th chapter, it says, let me do verse 11. It says, Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save people. We must be saved through him. The Jewish leaders saw that Peter and John were not afraid to speak, and that they understood these men had no special training or education. So they were amazed. Then they realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Because they saw the healed man standing there beside the two apostles, they could say nothing against them. After the Jewish leaders ordered them to leave the meeting, they began to talk to each other. They said, "What shall we do with these men? Everyone in Jerusalem knows they have done a great miracle, and we cannot say it is not true. But to keep them from spreading among the people, we must warn or threaten them not to talk to the people anymore using that name." So they called Peter and John in again, and they told them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "You decide what God would want. Should we obey you or God? We cannot keep quiet. We must speak about what we have seen and heard." The Jewish leaders warned or threatened the apostles again and let them go free. They could not find a way to punish them because all the people were praising God for what they had done. The man who received the miracle of healing was more than 40 years old. From that passage of scripture, I would like to offer up the title, Who You With? Who You With? Now, before I even get to that, who are you with? I'm excited because my grandmother's here with me today, and my great aunt and my great uncle. That's good. So I'm feeling real good today. Y'all in trouble. I said I was gonna be sure, but I told you to tell. I'm about to go now. No, but I'm excited. They've traveled, and even my cousin Jamie's here. They came from Mississippi and Atlanta to be with us today. So I'm excited about their presence here with us today. Let's get into it. So the topic is called "Who You With?" Now I am a member of a fraternal organization, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And if you know anything about fraternities, especially if you went to a historically black college, you know that fraternities and sororities, their job is to really serve the community. But if you also know about a fraternity or sorority, you know that they do what we call STEP. You've seen them STEP. Now I ain't gonna show y'all because y'all put me out. But we do, they STEP. And fraternities and sororities have a love for all of the fraternity and sororities, but there's a loyalty to your fraternity or sorority. So we have a step that we do, and at the end of the step, we say, "Who you with?" And our response is ICE. Now, the reason why we say ICE is because we say that the brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated are the coldest and the boldest. So we say we ice cold brothers. Y'all follow me? Stay with me now. I'm going to get to the scripture. Don't lose. Don't fall. So you'll say, "Who you with?" And we say ICE, right? As a matter of fact, if I ask my son, because he's been around it so much, if I ask my two-year-old son, I say, "Levi, who you with?" And he say, "ICE." Yeah. That's it. So there is while we have a respect for all fraternities, there is a loyalty to the one in which you're in. Y'all follow me? So this sermon is asking you, when I say who you with, I'm asking you, where is your loyalty? I'm not saying that you can't have a respect for men. You can have a respect for all men, but your loyalty has to lie with one person, one man. So when I ask the question, "Who you with?" what I want to know is, who are you loyal to? Y'all follow me? Okay, in this passage of scripture, we pick up at verse 12, and in verse 12, Peter and John have been arrested. Y'all follow me? They've been arrested. Now, if you don't know anybody, you say, why in the world would they arrest Peter and John? Well, to put it in the proper context, we need to go to Acts 3. Now, the chapter before, go on over there to Acts 3. We're not going to read it, but I'm going to give it to you. Now, Acts 3, what happened is there was a man who was crippled. And the Bible said he had been crippled since birth. And every day the people would grab the man and they would put him in front of the beautiful gate, which was the entry to the temple. So this is where everybody came. It was similar to a marketplace, but the temple was also in the vicinity. So the men and the women would pick this man up and they would put him at the gate. And every day he would beg and he would say, "Give me some food, give me some money." And the people of the city would give the man what they wanted to give him. You know, just give him a little here, a little there. Y'all follow me? Okay, so then the Bible says that he saw Peter and John approaching, and he did what he had always been doing. He started to beg, and he said, "Would you give me some money? Give me some food." And Peter and John looked at him and said, "I don't have any money for you, but what I do have is healing." Y'all follow me? He said, "What I do have for you is healing. Stand up and walk." And the Bible says when a man got ready to stand up, his legs and his ankles began to get strong. And then he began to walk about the city. We can stop and preach right there. We can stay there for the rest of the sermon, but I'm not. But the Bible says that he began to walk, and all the people who were used to seeing this man on a daily basis being in the middle of the marketplace crippled, they began to wonder what happened to him. And the man was so happy, he was rejoicing, and he was around Peter, and he was around John, and he was thanking them for what they had done for him. And the people began to surround Peter and John, and then they said, wait a minute, don't thank us. We didn't do that. The reason why you're thanking us is because you believe that we healed him by our own power. But we didn't heal him by our own power. We healed him in the power of the name of Jesus. Y'all follow me? All right. So people began to listen, and they were excited about what Peter and John had done. And as a result, there were the Jewish leaders and the priests. They didn't like the fact that they were preaching in the name of Jesus. So they arrested them, right? And they put them in jail. And the Bible says it was already close or nighttime. So they left them in jail overnight because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. Y'all still follow me? I'm just trying to give you the context so we get there. And then the Bible says the next day, the people called them in. And they begin to ask them a series of questions. And it says, whose name? Who are you healing and raising these people up with? And he said, we are raising them in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the stone that you threw away that became the cornerstone. And then they go on to say, only Jesus' name can save people. That's the gospel message right there. That's your invitation. I'm not going to give it again. That's it. Is that only the name of Jesus can save and heal man. That's the invitation. But let's get more into the text. Then it says, so the Jewish leaders looked at them and they couldn't figure out how they spoke the way they spoke because they had no formal training. So the Jew, they looked at them and they said, these people didn't go to school. These people didn't work in the law. These people didn't have any technical skills. How is it that they're speaking this way? All right. So they begin to start to attack them. And let me be very, very clear. The attack. Now, the Jewish leaders are who they say in Scripture. But the Jewish leaders are not the enemy. The enemy is the devil. And let's make that real clear. It doesn't matter how it presents itself. Regardless of whoever attacks you, it doesn't matter what body they come in. They are under the power of the devil. He is the one who is attacking you. You follow me? So if you're sick, it's the devil that's trying to mess you up. It's trying to, okay, I just want to make sure we're clear. So when they begin, they start off and they said, these are a bunch of dummies. These men don't have any knowledge. This is your very first point. The devil will attack you by using contempt. Do y'all know what contempt is? Contempt is making you feel as if you are less than what you are. You follow me? So the first thing they did was they began to challenge their knowledge. They said, these men can't know much because they are unlearned. See, so the devil will come after you sometime, and the very reason or the way he will come after you is by first trying to make you feel unworthy. See, you got to be careful. You see, because sometimes the devil will use us and he will abuse us. And the way that he enters into our hearts is by making us feel like we are less than. Watch the tactic. You got to watch it. See, the devil has a lot of tactics. But one of them is making you feel like you are unworthy. He'll make you feel like you're not pretty enough. He'll make you feel like you're not strong enough. He'll make you feel like you too poor. He'll make you feel like you can't speak well enough. That's what he did to Moses. Remember Moses? God said, he called Moses. He said, go on over there and go get my people. And then Moses said, I'm a stutterer. I can't talk, Lord. What do you want me to do? And then God says, tell him I am sent you. See, so with the devil, as soon as Moses received his charge, the devil put doubt on his heart, right? And a lot of times we are not able to do what God wants us to do because the devil will put doubt in who we are. Y'all, anybody ever been there? Am I the only person that walked in a room and said to myself, I know good and well this ain't going to go well because I ain't ready for this? Yeah. Sometimes I'll be going to be real transparent. When I'm getting up on Sunday morning and I know I got to preach, I be nervous as all get out. I say to myself, I'm about to mess this up. I'm not worthy to be speaking. I'm not smart enough to be speaking. I don't know scripture enough to be speaking. And then I have to pray and I say, God, how about this? Just get rid of me altogether. And you do what you need to do. I'll stand here and I'll move my mouth, but I want you to talk. See, so sometimes what the devil will do is he will try to minimize who you are. And when he minimizes who you are, then he knows he can start to work on you. But what they didn't know, what the people didn't know is that God never cared about your education. He doesn't care if you have a PhD, a GED, or a first grade degree. It don't matter. See, I was talking to my aunts and my grandmother yesterday, and they put a point in my heart, and I told them, I said, y'all gonna make me change my lesson. They were talking about my great-grandfather, and we called my great-grandfather Papa. Now, I never met him, but from everything I heard, Papa was a good man. As a matter of fact, if you ask any of his children, they say, Papa going to heaven. He was that kind of man. I hope my kids, when I die, say, hope they look back and say, ooh, Daddy going to heaven. But they were talking, and my aunt said, she said, you know, Papa was never a good reader, but he always had the Bible, and he always knew the scripture. I can't understand why Papa, who couldn't read well, could learn scripture like that. Well, I thought about it. I answered it. I said, well, during his time, you learned things orally, and your muscle memory was stronger. Because you knew you couldn't read, but you had to be able to orally understand it. But then, on my way home, it hit me. It's more than just his muscle memory. He was committed to God. And when you're committed to God, it does not matter what your education level is. God will give you enough to be able to be who he needs you to be. But you got to be careful. Because the devil will try to make you think otherwise. Watch the attack. The first thing he did, the first tactic that the devil used was he wanted to use contempt. He wanted to make them feel like they were unworthy. Don't you let the devil make you feel like you're unworthy. Because the truth of the matter is, let me be honest, you are unworthy. But God isn't. And you work with God. See, so that's why it's important when people ask you who you're with, you say, I'm with God. Your loyalty is with God because he is the one who gives the strength. And then they went on. The Bible says that they were amazed. They were amazed because it was clear by what they were saying that they had been with Jesus. Their speech sounded like they had learned and had been with Christ himself. When I read this, I had to ask myself this question, and I asked the same thing to you. When you talk, who does it sound like you've been with? When you talk, when you live, does it look like you've been with Jesus? You don't have to answer. I know some of y'all want to raise your hand. No, don't tell me. When you articulate the things of your heart, does it sound like you've been with Jesus? Or does it sound like you've been with Satan? Or does it sound like you've been with this person or that person? When you talk, who does it sound like you've been with? Have you ever asked yourself that question? There's some times I talk And I got you know, me and my best friend lived together in college, and there was times when I would articulate, I would talk, and I sound just like him. And the reason why I sound just like him is because that's who I lived with. That's who I spent all my time with. So I start to sound like Trey sometimes. And sometimes he would say stuff, and I would listen to him, and I would say, he sound like me. But as I begin to get older, I understand that we were influenced by people in our life. But as I begin to get older and I'm trying to become more mature, I'm trying my very best. And when I talk, I just want to sound like Jesus. That's it. I just want to sound like the Lord. Then they go ahead and they continue this attack. And you notice that they put them in prison. Now, when they put them in prison, that was a threat. See, what they were doing was they were saying, these folks, if we put them in prison, we hoping that we put them in prison overnight, it might they might calm down a little bit. They might decide this ain't no good thing to do because they don't want to spend a lot of time in prison. But when they woke up the next morning, they kept with the same zeal. But then they said, they asked him, who do you speak about? Who gives you this power? And Peter said, are you asking us, do you have a problem with us doing a good thing? You know? And then they said, they put him out the room. They said, get on out of here. And they began to talk amongst themselves. And they said, we don't know what to do with these people. Because the people had already saw that they performed a miracle. We can't hide that. But we got to figure out a way to shut them up. So they called them back into the room. And they said, we ain't going to give you no punishment. But don't you ever say that again. And then Peter and John said, you decide what you're going to do about God. But for us, we're going to tell it. See, and they couldn't stop them. They couldn't stop them because the miracle had already taken place. Follow me here now. See, they had an unanswerable fact. The fact was the man was walking. You remember, it was Acts 3 when they healed him. See, so the fact was is that you can't really shut us up because God has already performed the miracle. So you can try to shut us up, but it ain't gonna work because the miracle is already done. See, so sometimes Satan will try to threaten you, and then you have to ask yourself, what is my defense for Satan? It's the miracle. What's the miracle? You. The Christian's best response to hate is their own life. The Christian's best response to the attacks of the devil is their own life. What do you mean? You tell me how I made it through. I got the facts. The facts is I didn't have it. I didn't know where it was coming from. I wasn't feeling good. My body was tired. My spirit was weak. But the facts is now I'm standing here. I'm firm. I got what I need and more. You tell me what happened. I got the facts. The facts is I came through. So you can't argue with me about the facts. Sometimes we forget how to deal with the devil. All you got to do with the devil is say, I'm here. Now what? Yeah. The miracle had already taken place. What's the miracle? You're the miracle. Just think about it. Spend a little time. Have you been someplace or been somewhere where you didn't know how you was coming out? Anybody ever been someplace? And I ain't just talking about the fight you got in that you supposed to lost. That too. But have you ever been in a stage in your life where it seems so dark and you said, ain't no way in the world I'm coming out. But God said something different. And you walk through that joker just like the three Hebrew children came out of the lion's den, and just like they came out the fiery furnace, you walked out of that thing not even smelling like smoke. And then the devil got enough nerve to come and try you again. What you want, devil? I'm here. I'm the story. It's an unanswerable fact. You can't take it away from me. You can't make me be less than what I am. You can't tell me I didn't go through because I did it. So when the devil tries to belittle you or make you feel unworthy, or when the devil tries to threaten you and make you feel like you can't make it through, answer him with your life. Answer him with your testimony. Now I'm going to go to a part right now, and I hope that my grandma will make it through here. Now, but I'm going to have to use her as an example. And the reason why I got to use her as example now, because she's going through something now. And I got to tell her about her past so she can know she can make it through the future. My grandmama has been through some stuff. I'm trying to tell you. She's had some loss in her life. She has lost two of her children out of four. You follow me? But she made it. My uncle, I told y'all about my uncle. Is sick. He's sick. And it ain't looking good. The facts are, it ain't looking good right now. And it's going to be rough for us. But I know we're going to make it through this because we made it through that. We are the testimony. It's an unanswerable fact. You tell me, Satan, how I got through it. God got me through it. And then when he tries to threaten you, sometimes he'll try to threaten you. Then you got a second defense. And this is my favorite of them all. Your second defense is your loyalty to God. What do you mean? See, he said, y'all stop talking about this stuff. Don't you do it no more. He said, no. You decide who you talk about. But for us, we stand with God. And some people will say, well, how in the world is their loyalty their defense? Let me help you. When I was about sixth grade, I was outside and I was playing basketball. And it was this girl who was a little rough, little girl. I don't know what's wrong with her. She was all messed up. But the girl used to spit all the time. And she was spitting. And I told her, stop, don't you spit over here. Right? And we're playing basketball, and I'm sitting down. Well, I'm dribbling the ball, but I'm sitting down on the stoop. And the girl spit, and it got right in my hair. Ooh! Listen, I'm telling you. I wanted to knock that girl clean off her feet. But two reasons why I didn't. One, I wasn't sure if I was going to win. I'm just being honest. She was a feisty one, boy. The second reason was my mom and daddy told me not to hit a one girl. But I knew a girl. I went and got my sister. And when I came back outside, the girl was still outside. And my sister ain't a big thing. She a little bitty old 5-foot something. But when our sister came, when it came out, and the girl, I told you not to spit on me. You spit in my hair. And I said, now, you want to know what? Now, I'm with her. I got her. I'm loyal to her. And for the very fact that I declared that I was with my sister, I automatically had a defense. You see, let me help you again. Y'all not following me. One time I was at a football game, and they was messing with us, and me and my friend Reese, and I had some friends that I used to stay with. They were distant cousins, the Grimes boys, Reggie and Trevor and all them. And if you knew anything about Reggie, Reggie's about 6'5". 240 pounds, you know, he's a big boy. And I remember them trying to mess with us. And I remember walking real close to Reggie. And I said, I'm with him. My loyalty to Reggie was my defense. Let me help y'all, I'm trying to get there. My daughter, when she was young, didn't like clowns. She was a little nervous. The clown didn't make sense. I don't like them either. I don't understand what the whole thing is about. Grown man with fake on his face. I don't understand. Anyway, but she didn't like clowns. And I remember we were at a birthday party and the clown started walking towards her. And she shot out. I was watching her. She shot out. And she ran past this man. She ran past that woman. She ran past this man. She ran past her mama. And she came and she grabbed my leg. And what she was saying is, clown, I'm with him. Her loyalty to me was her defense. When the devil starts messing with you, when he starts attacking you from this side and that side, when he's messing with your health and your money and your body and he's messing with your family and your marriage and all those type of things, he's going to start running after you. What you do is you stand right next to Jesus and say, I'm with him. Their loyalty to God was their defense. See, and sometimes when the devil comes with us and comes at us, he really just testing us. And what he's really asking is, who are you with? And once he finds out that you're with the Lord, he can't bother you. He don't even want to bother you no more. He waiting to try to find you when you ain't with him again. But when the devil finds out that you are actually hand in hand with Jesus himself, he already knows that's a battle I can't win. And the only reason why I can't win that battle is not because of Darwin. It's because it's who he's with. Sometimes we struggle because we're with the wrong people. We're praying, but we're praying with the wrong heart. We're giving our time, but we're giving our time to the wrong places. And the devil is whooping our head. And the reason why he's whooping your head is because you're at the wrong and you're with the wrong folks. Who you with? It's a question. That's my last point, there was one thing that came to me right before I walked out of the office. In the last scripture of that verse, it says, and the man who was healed was over 40 years old. This wasn't no point, and that ain't in my notes, but I got to tell you this. He was crippled since birth. So that means he needed healing for at least 40 years. It don't matter how long you've been down. All you got to do is call on the power of Jesus. He's been down for 40 years. Some of us been down for longer than that. But it don't matter. Call on him. He'll heal you 40 years later. And you'll have the same attitude that man had. Just running around rejoicing. Don't give up on yourself because God hadn't given up on you. How do you know he hadn't given up on you? Because you're still here. God left you here because he still has something for you to do. He left you here because he still sees something in you. He left you here because he's working through you. It don't matter how long you've been down. Get up and let God heal you. I don't know why it said the devil. I don't know why it told us in the last part that man was ever 40 years, but it sure hit me. And I said it must be because he wanted me to tell y'all that you could have been down 4 days, 4 months, 4 years, 40 years, 50 years. It don't matter where you've been. If you've been away from God, come back now. And he is so merciful that he'll take you from wherever you are. That's the message. That's it. I ain't got nothing left. Come to Jesus, though. See, come to Jesus and then walk through life with a different confidence. It feels good. Y'all know what it is. You know what it's like when you walk through a place with your big brother. It changes everything. You can walk kind of, you know, kind of, yeah. My son, I was laughing at him the other day. He got a little bravado on him. You know, he walked through the house like, you know, just. And I told my wife, I said, that boy sure stick his chest out, you know. But I watched him walk, and he's always got a little confidence. But the other day he walked in, me and him walked into Chick-fil-A together. And that joker walked in like he was on the world. He walked in like. And guess what he said? It made me feel so good. The good dude said, he said, hey, little man, how you doing? He said, that's my daddy. Yeah. Yeah. He was happy to be with me. When you walk through life storms, hold Jesus' hand. And when they start messing with you, say, that's my daddy. And you'll be just fine. Hear the word, believe on it, repent of your sins, confess the sweetest name. So you can stand. We don't have to sing yet. Just go ahead and stand. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And then be baptized. That's how you do it. It's nothing more than that. The gospel story, real simple. Yes. Jesus hung, bled down the cross for your sins. That's what he did. And then he got up. See, look, let's see. Come on, you come on over here. See? He helping me. See? Boy, you made my point. Give me some. Yeah. That's the gospel story. Is that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. But he didn't stay there. He got up. And when he got up with all of the power that he needed. And this is what I like to say, because I feel like this is always a truth. You're talking about God. He got up with all the power that he needed and more. That's what I love about God. Yeah, yeah. Go over to grandma. He got all the power that he needed and more. Whatever it is you're going through, he can fix it and more. And more. If he could, we just start coming down. Our leaders are here. Where are our leaders? Come on, our leaders, our elders, our deacons, they all standing waiting. If you want somebody, you don't have to. Sometimes a song throw you off. You start listening to the song and think that you got through. The devil waiting for you to let that song get to you. Say, once he starts speaking, when he starts singing, I don't have to go no more. Everybody's singing, they ain't watching me. Don't worry about us watching you, the Lord's watching. Do you need him? Do you need Jesus now? Do you need him in your life? Have you just been with somebody else? You know, when you ask yourself that question, who you with? You naming everybody else but the Lord. This is your time to get back with him. But Brother Mason, I've been gone for too long. It don't matter, get back. No matter what you've been going through, come on back. Come on back right now as we sing. Jesus.